welcome to the podcast, Hula Hoopla, a podcast for hoopers. I am the Hoopanista Paige, and as you know, I'm still working with learning my recording equipment. And the next couple of episodes, I realized that I had my mic gain down, so you're going to have to play with the audio while you're listening to it. I apologize. Sorry. So this episode, I interviewed my hoop mama, the person that introduced me to hooping in the way that I consider, you know, the hoop dance, modern hooping. Mary Lou, we met years ago at Burning Man, but I really got to know her. There was one year where there was a lot of whiteouts, and we spent a lot of time in our camp hanging out, getting to know our campmates. And I believe that was the year that I really paid attention to what she was doing with her hoop, her and Nectar. And they inspired me. So, and you've kind of heard this story before in the beginning, the first episode, where I talk about, you know, the course of my hooping path. And now you'll get to meet my hoop mama, Mary Lou. It's recording. Yes, it is. Okay. So I'm here with my hoop mama, my hoop mother, Mary Lou. We're in Seattle for, what, how many years is this now?
For what?
Turkey Jam.
Turkey Jam? I don't know.
An annual event called the Turkey Jam where people bring their leftover Thanksgiving.
At least 6 or 8 years. I don't know, something like that.
This is my second one where everyone brings their leftovers to share, and we play music, and we'll be hooping and all that. So I came up to Seattle to do that and see a comedian, and I just am running into all my Seattle friends and want to take this opportunity to interview my hoop mama. Yeah. So Mary Lou is the reason I got into hooping, because I saw her do things with a hoop that I'd never seen anybody do before, and I like, you need to show me that. But I didn't do that until after you and Annie and Bill had come down and taught me how to make hoops.
Right, Soak, Burnout.
Burnout.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the first time I learned how to make hoops. And then you were the one that taught.
08? Yeah.
09.
09?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, you're right, 08. Because then you said, okay, you need to go to this thing. And it was the Northwest Hoop Gathering.
Yeah, that was so much fun.
Okay, what, I pay how much money, and I can't, and I how many days, and I what do I do? And you're like, you hoop. You hoop. You have to go. So I just went blindly, and we walked in. Well, I walked in with Philo, and I didn't know who he was. And I was like, have you ever been to this place, done this before? He goes, this is my first one. So I thought he was like a brand new hooper. Yeah. So what did I know? But I remember you grabbing my hand because you got so excited about all the hoopers that were there that you knew. You're like, oh my God, there's Christabel.
Yeah, the masters.
They're masters. And there's Hoopalicious. And there's, who else did you see? And cause I didn't know anybody.
Rich Carter was there. Baxter and Kim. And,
Spiral was there.
Spiral.
Sapphire.
And Sapphire. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh, I got goosebumps.
So that was, you pretty much led me into that. And for me, that event changed my life. So, and I got to meet Maxine there. And it's the first time I saw Erica, who now I hoop with, and Holly. And I saw Lacey, who ended up, and Candace, who ended up being my instructors. So that was a really nice starting point. So that was my starting point, and it was because of you, Burning Man, of course, but then it just led into that. So what was your starting point?
Oh my gosh, I love to tell this story. I don't know if it's that great of a story to hear, but it's kind of like telling the story of when you first met the man you fell in love with and married. It's like telling the story of falling in love. It's my falling in love with the hoop story. So we were at Burning Man. This is 2005? Yeah, 2005. And we got up really early, pre-dawn one morning, in order to go see the sunrise. We didn't stay up all night. We just set the alarm. But it was still really, really early. And we're just kind of wandering around towards Inner Playa. And we wandered into a camp that was kind of winding down from the night before their party. They still had the video going and the music going, and they had a stage in the middle of this big geodesic dome. And turned out later, I found out it was called Audrey's Brainwash, something like that. Yeah, Audrey's Brainwash. Anyway, they had this great music going, the video, and then I saw the stage in the middle of the dome, and on the stage were these big black circular things, and I'm like, God, these look like hula hoops, but they're huge. I gotta try this. So I picked one up and I put it around my waist and I just started hooping, and it was just like love at first feel. It was really great. I couldn't stop. I hooped for an hour straight. I didn't drop it at all. I just really got into the flow of it. I felt beautiful and sexy, and I just grooved with the music, and you know, finally it was like, oh, it's getting light, and Bill's like kind of giving me the signal, like, oh yeah, we gotta go see the sunrise. That was our original plan. So, and then I really wanted some of those hoops, but I didn't know where to get them. And Bill was so sweet for Christmas that year. He got some kids' hoops and he taped them with duct tape. It didn't quite work.
Oh, to make them bigger and thicker.
To make them heavier. We started looking online and we found. Jason Unbound, his website. I was on Tribe, or was I on Tribe? No, I didn't get on Tribe till the next year. Anyway, found Jason Unbound's website and made some hoops like the next January, February, and just really got hooked on it. And I was just hooping around my waist for the longest time until I think it was this next summer, 2006, where I finally got like around the back, you know, just one additional move, and then I broke my wrist. But I got some other
doing
videos.
What?
Roller skating. Getting ready to go to Burning Man the next year. It's a long story. When Bill and I had our first kiss, we went roller skating, and I fell down, and he skated over my thumb. And so we wanted to go to Black Rock Roller Disco and kind of not recreate that scene, but just kind of skate together. So,
which I still, that's why I'm making you tell the story, because I think that was so romantic.
So then I had to go to Burning Man, and I had all these hoops and I wanted to hoop with them, but I had a broken wrist. But it was kind of cool. That was, I mean, I've done a lot of things at Burning Man that were hoop related ever since. That was the year we made pieces of the Chinese dragon. There was a big, huge Chinese dragon in 2006. And so we made two 10-foot sections, and they had hoops in the middle to hold the fabric together. And I didn't know how to.
I remember
hold on
watching
to
you
it.
Guys.
I had this broken wrist, so I had to use a sling to help me hold on to my section. But then in 2007, we had our first hoop jam. Were you there in 2007?
Yeah. Was that the green?
No, it was. Maybe it was green. It was when there was a lunar eclipse on the first night, the Monday.
Is that when they burned?
That's
the year I did not go.
Somebody lit the man on fire early. Yeah, and so we had a pre-lunar eclipse hoop jam. So it was a nighttime hoop jam. That was our first VW Best Camp hoop jam that night. And then we had one in 2008.
And that's the one I participated in.
And 11. So we've had 7, 8, 9, 10, 5 hoop jams.
And that's when I saw you and Nectar performing with your LED hoops. And I was like, what is that? It was one of those things where you look and you feel like it's a completely separate plane of existence.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I would never be, you know, that's just like something. That's just something.
That was.
That's like a Vegas thing.
Christmas
you know?
Present 2006, winter 2006, was my PSI hoop, my Psy hoop. Oh, man.
Lot of mileage out of that hoop.
Oh, I had to have it totally refurbished last year because it was just wasted. I retaped it 3 times already, but then I wanted a smaller tubing and the batteries were just completely worn out.
But it's still great. Seen a lot. Yeah. How exciting. I tell people this a lot. It's like, it's part of my story is seeing you and Linda hooping and just being blown away by the things that you were doing. And I had never seen that before. And then when you talked me into, I shouldn't say talk me into it.
I never really try to persuade
you. No, you
people.
Just said, you got to go. I'm like,
it doesn't
okay.
Really take much because it's so much fun.
Yes.
You know, we just were doing it and just because it felt good and it, you know, it wasn't like we were trying to, you know, attract attention or, you know, look good.
We're
both in long-term relationships. It's not like we're trying to, you know, attract somebody or anything like that. It's just really fun and it feels good, and especially doing it to music. And the more people you have around you, I love these hoop jams, the more people you have around you that are doing the same thing, there's like an energy in the air.
I was talking about this today.
Yoga class where, you know, everyone is like a community, and there's an energy in the air that goes beyond your physical bodies.
It's really amazing. I was talking today, I think, to Andreas and Annie about, there are like some things that I like to do privately as I'm learning a move, if I have the opportunity to have access to mirror, if I'm just trying to figure out where my hands are or something like that. I don't mind being alone, but for me, I grow when I'm around more people. Mm-hmm. I get excited, or like you said, the energy level changes, and I just feel more...
And different groups are different, too. Some are more show-offy, kind of. I don't know if that's the right word. And some are more just really accepting and experimental, and it's those experimental and accepting types of situations where I feel like I can try anything. Well, especially when there's a lot of room. A big, like... sunny day, outdoor, in a grassy park. It's like, I can make all the mistakes in the world. I won't hit anybody.
Right.
Or destroy anything.
I love it when the hoops are flying. And
so I try things. I try things I don't normally try.
So I kind of looked over my shoulder, and I see what was the name of that?
That's Sacred Flame.
That's a very pretty fire hoop.
New fire, virginal fire hoop here. I haven't lit it up yet.
I didn't bring mine because I figured... The Turkey Jam is not a place.
There's no place here.
No.
There's the street, which is illegal, and then there's the yard, which we'd catch. I mean, there is no yard.
Yeah.
There's our decks, which we'd catch on fire.
Yeah, nah. But I'm excited to do some fire. We were talking about Annie's 50th birthday party, too.
Yeah.
You did the poi, and you and Bill decided that it was time for me to do fire, and... So that was...
Well, we were here the night before, remember? And Bill and I looked at each other, and you were hooping with the LED hoop on the rooftop. And we looked at each other and said, you think she's ready for fire hooping? She's like, yeah, I think she's ready for fire hooping.
And
we brought it up, and you said, yeah, I'd like to try it. So,
Again, you guys just keep, here, we think you can do this. And it's like, okay. Yeah. And, well, I can do this. It's been an amazing journey that started with you, and then... Annie, realized
you have grown so much. You've been like a flower that's blossomed before my eyes.
And it's so funny. I still feel like I'm like almost a novice compared to the talent, the people that are so, and I'm guilty because I always tell my students, don't compare yourself to other people. I'm so guilty of doing that. It's hard when you live in a
it's
town.
It's human nature.
When you live in the same town as like Lacey and Megs.
Yeah,
and,
it's just human nature.
It is human nature, but they're all inspiring too. So
you just have
you
to remember, there's always greater and lesser talents and different talents for yourself. So you're unique in your own way, and there's things that other people, you can do that nobody else can do.
Yes, that is so true. And I love watching everybody else's, the way they move and what music, how they light up to a song, or, you know, the music is a huge thing too. So what, you always have really fun playlists for hooping.
I love making playlists for the hoop jam. That's one of my favorite things to do.
It is. And it's, do you make them like, are you in a certain mood when you make them, or you try to make the music to be, inspire a certain something to come out of your hoop jam or your practice?
I make them over a period of time, over a period of weeks or even months. And I'll solicit suggestions from the rest of the camp, but I also will kind of, you know, cruise the internet and my collection and just kind of look at songs that I like to hoop to, and, you know, just music I like, but also music I think that other people would like. And I kind of maybe start up with a slower one. I like to mix them up and have some electronic dance and some techno, but also some... traditional but really fun, you know, some saxophone, rockabilly type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, or,
I do.
And
I
then
do
Santana.
Like...
You know, I like to, you know, put the Beatles in there. I love the Beatles. So, I like to have a wide variety. And then I always like to, at the end, put that VW that I drive a motherfucking Vanagon. So.
Yes. Everybody loves that
it's
one.
Our theme, it's our theme song for our camp.
It is. And it goes, now we have it on birthday videos, and we have it at hoop jams, and it's just like, we have the sheets are in the camp, and we get to sing along with it. I love that. What else? So keep, you know, what else?
Because you keep expanding. You moved on to poor, I mean, you did hooping and then you took it up the next level and you started fire hooping and then now you're good at poi and now you fire poi.
Well, I started fire hooping, let's see, it was December 07, so a year after I got my side hoop, then I bought a fire hooping. But I practiced with it for 4 months before I got the nerve to light it. And I actually consulted with a friend of mine, Sarah. She goes by Ms. Fire here. She's here in Seattle. And had her give me a safety lesson and, you know, do's and don'ts and tips and tricks. And, you know, and so I felt really comfortable the first time. I mean, I was nervous for sure.
But oh, yeah.
We just did it in our backyard up there in Bothell. And then a couple months later, I saw Sarah at a barbecue or something. And she said, I'd really like to do. The reason I got this fire hoop is I'd really like to someday. I'd like to dance in front of the man on the night of the burn with like a fire conclave. And she's going, well, I happen to know the guy who's in charge of it this year. And he's going to, they have a meeting, you know, like next week and you can still get in. I'm like, really? So I went to the meeting and I got on the email list and long story short, I joined the Northwest Fire Conclave that year. That was 2008. And it was a really great group. And we rehearsed all summer long. And we had this great group of hoopers. And there was, you know, all different kinds of tools. And it was a whole, like a story that was being told. It was just beautiful. But unfortunately, we didn't get to perform on the night of the burn.
It was windy.
Because it was too windy. And no conclaves got to perform. They figured they only had a window enough to burn the man. So I was heartbroken. So then I decided in 09 to try again. And I joined Northwest Fire Conclave. And that was also the year that I retired from my white-collar desk job. And my friend Sarah, again, was kind of goading me into... She's kind of my hoop mama, even though
yes.
she wasn't there, you know, when I first picked up the hoop. She wasn't really goading me. She's like, you don't have any excuse now. You don't have a job. You should audition. The Spinergy, this group was a local Seattle fire spinning troupe, is auditioning for new performers. You should do it. And I'm like, okay. So I had to choreograph my own routine to a song for the audition, and I got in, and we rehearsed a lot. We did perform that summer, 2009, for at a bar in Georgetown, the Tiger Lounge, and that was really fun. But I, you know, talking with Bill, you know, there were weekly rehearsals and weekly performances.
Big commitment.
Yeah, this is a big commitment, and I didn't want to let people down, and I didn't want to be tied down because we wanted to travel more, so I quit the group. But as part of being part of that group, that, you know, they required all the performers to know some basic poi and some basic steps, so that's why I started spinning the poi.
I was wondering. Oh, okay.
That's why I started spinning the poi, was for that, and also I had a part in the poi section of the 09 Northwest Fire Conclave routine. So I had two sources, two sets of teachers to help me learn poi, the
nice.
Northwest Conclave and the Spinergy Arts people. So I didn't do much with the staff, though, probably because I didn't really have a part.
And, yeah.
I mean, I practiced a little bit with it, but it was hard for me. It's this open-ended stick versus something that goes around in a circle. I don't know. I'm more somehow connected with the things that go around in a circle than the sticks.
Interesting. Even though they spin, but they're not, they don't encompass.
I know. I did learn at the Pacific Fire Gathering this last summer. I learned some staff and got really excited about it. And then I spun my staff only for the second time, the handmade one. And then I immediately drew a blank and forgot everything I learned that day.
Muscle memory. Maybe it'll come back.
I know. I need to just practice it at Unlit. But anyway, the 09, we did get to perform on the playa twice. We performed on the Shiva stage on Wednesday night, and then we got to perform before the man burn on Saturday night. So that was really cool. I was really, really happy about that. Yeah. And then
because it was an iffy situation again, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. It was. It's kind of like, are we doing it? Are we not doing it? Yeah. And the Shiva stage, that was a challenge too, because it was not the shape of a area that we practiced in.
It's like it was a cross,
it was
or
a
something.
Plus sign.
Yeah.
So there were some spaces missing where people's heads were. They were like, the audience was like right there hanging on the edge of the stage. So So ever since then, I've just kind of done, you know, random fire spinning here and there at private events, camping trips. And
I love the camping trip spinning.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. Well, obviously I'm going to do more since I just bought a new fire hose.
Yeah.
My old one, I was down to 4 wicks and it's like, oh, should I buy another one? You know, I worry sometimes about the ecological impact. I don't think it's as big as a campfire or a car, but there is some ecological impact. There's fuel and there's combustion and there's, you know, toxins going into the air and into my own, you know, skin and lungs too. So it's not something, the burning is not something I want to do too much, just occasionally.
Yeah.
So,
but it's pretty special when it happens.
It is, because
so what was
not it? Very many people can do it
or will do it
or are willing to do it.
Right.
Right.
Because it is, I love it. When, I mean, once the, you know, when you guys lit that hoop up, you know, for me, I mean, and we did the whole safety thing too. So I felt very safe. And I practiced that day mm-hmm. with it, and I got comfortable with the weight, and I was just so excited.
And the wicks. And it's so different with the wicks.
Because the hoop's so much bigger.
Right.
Yeah. And but when those things were lit and that sound, I was like, oh, my God.
Did I not prepare you for the sound?
No.
Oh.
Oh, that sound was just like.
I remember Sarah warning me about the sound.
I loved it. Yeah, it's just like.
Yeah.
It is powerful. So that was so cool to be able to share that with you guys.
It was really special for friend Annie's birthday.
Yeah. It felt really cool to be part of all of that. Yeah, you've been such a huge part of things that have helped me get through some really crappy times, and I keep coming out on the top of them just like, well, I still have my hooping, and I have this thing, this wonderful thing that I get to do, and I continue to meet amazing people. And
oh, you've done an amazing job of reaching out to the community and adding skills everywhere possible. Burlesque, you've added burlesque to your repertoire.
This is true.
It's awesome. It's really cool.
I actually just got booked for a Santa show, so I'm not really sure what kind of outfit that's going to be. And then a carnival thing, a record release party.
All right.
So there's some turn of the century boudoir sort of stuff going on with that, with hooping.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, but for you, your leather outfits, let me tell you, very, very sexy.
Every time I say, oh, this is so old, I need to get a new one, Bill goes, no, that one looks good on you.
It does look good.
No, I'm not, I'm really lucky, I'm grateful every single day. I'm really, really lucky that I don't have to go to that white collar desk job anymore, and I don't have to worry about paying the bills because we've got enough savings, and so I can give away hoops when I want to, or sell them cheap, or, you know, just teach people when I feel like teaching mm-hmm. people. I don't have to make it be about money, which I think is really nice. But I know that most hoopers who have a hooping business don't have that luxury.
Yeah.
And so if there's any way that I can help, I try to do that.
Yeah.
Like your first, you know, the Alberta
that was so fantastic,
and the parkways, and we rode the
what a great weekend.
That was so much fun.
That was
we were totally hooped out. We must have hooped for 12 hours.
Oh, I know. Total. I was in platforms all day too. So that is the Alberta Art Hop, which was an annual festival in Northeast Portland, and Mary Lou came down from Seattle with her husband Wild Bill. And they helped me set up my hoop booth. This is the first time I was selling hoops and pushing my classes and kind of introducing hooping on a bigger level in this community. And Mary Lou came and dressed up in her hoop clothes, and I was in my hoop clothes, and we hooped all day, and we had spare hoops to share with the kids, and we sold hoops. And then the next day is another thing that happens in Portland called Sunday Parkways, where certain neighborhoods or the streets are shut down to car traffic, and it's bicycles and pedestrians. And I had a hoop cart made by a company called Rejuice Bikes. And so it was a bike cart made out of bike parts.
You still have it, right?
Oh, yeah. It's a...
It's totally cool. It looks like a cyclone of bicycle rims.
Yeah. And it, I actually put LED lights on it in the winter. So it's art my backyard.
Nice.
And so this thing can haul 20 to 30 hoops. And we went from park to park to park and hooped and... Yeah, we hooped our heinies off. Yeah. So that's right.
Some of them had live bands. So
yeah, we hooped to live bands, and that was, that was phenomenal. That hoop cart, that's incredible.
It was middle of May, and it was nice weather.
It was beautiful. Yeah. So yeah, that was really cool. That was my first thing, and it was so nice not to have to do it by myself. And it was really, so that was very, we appreciate it. You have been very supportive.
Well, you know, it's my mission, spreading the joy of hooping.
That is the mission.
And it doesn't have to be through me. It could be through you. I mean, I can't be in Portland, you know?
No, but your legacy is growing. Your legacy is growing. You have plenty of grandchildren now.
Who are my hoop children? Let's
see. So I am Annie, Andreas,
Linda. And all the people she's taught in San Jose.
And then all the people I've got. You have hundreds of grandchildren, by the way. Did you teach Ramona too?
I did. Yep, I gave her first hoop, Rasta.
Rasta hoop, and she still has she has a bumblebee.
I'm not sure if she has a bumblebee or not.
Andreas still has his.
Oh, good.
We hooped with that today.
That was the very first one. It's just a very simple. It's just black. It was when I first started making the hoops, and it has a yellow vinyl stripe.
Yes.
Maybe it's electrical tape. I don't even know.
Yeah, it's yellow, then it has black on the inside.
That's it.
Yeah, we hooped with that. All three of us hooped with that today.
Awesome.
I was teaching them how to do chest hooping.
Oh, cool.
So,
cool. I just recently bought at the hoop camp in Santa Cruz. I bought the hoop technique video with Rich Porter and Spiral. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but I don't have enough room to practice in here. I need to, I don't know, rethink our furniture distribution.
That is,
because it's raining a lot, and I could hoop on the decks outside, but not.
You don't want to get your hoops wet.
No.
It's interesting. Andreas has now he views his house when he does remodel projects differently to allow space for hooping.
Yeah, because he has a small house.
Yes. Well, he has two deck areas.
Oh, yeah.
A covered one, an open one, plus the grass and the garage. You can't do any off-body over the hand stuff, but he painted the garage floor. He goes, excellent hooping space.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So we were hooping out in the garage. So you get three people out there.
And I do want to. I would like to start a weekly hoop jam in West Seattle. The only thing is, I'm hoping to collaborate with Amanda.
Yeah.
Connect with that because I can't be there every week because we travel.
It's hard because I host one right now.
So someone's got to be there. But
yeah.
I mean, if
space
wintertime
is an issue.
Wintertime is also hard because it's cold. So we have to find an indoor space. And there's some community spaces, but they charge kind of a lot.
That has been a huge challenge in Portland as well.
I'm still looking. Still looking.
Well, maybe this podcast. So, West Seattle peeps, if you're listening to this podcast, Mary Lou needs community space.
Yeah,
it's not a for-profit situation.
No,
basically, we charge money to pay for the rent.
Right.
There's
already a really great weekly hoop jam that happens on Capitol Hill. In the summertime, it's at Cal Anderson Park, and then in the wintertime, it's across the street. There's a building with a dance studio.
I've been to it a couple
of
times, and I was hoping it was happening.
Actually, there are a couple of different locations, but on Capitol Hill. And I'd like to, find one closer to my house, but also, so that's my selfish motive, but also, you know, there aren't that many hoopers in West Seattle. So I'd like to...
I just want to move here.
You know, get some more people in West Seattle into it, and then it can become just a self-perpetuating weekly hoop jam. I don't know if I wouldn't need to be there. So I'd like to get it rolling. I also want to bring The Hooping Life, the movie, to the Admiral Theater.
I was really excited.
I got the package.
I got
the email. So I just, I'm kind of waiting until it's really done, because they said Basement Jax is doing the soundtrack, but it sounded like it's not done yet.
So, January, I think.
Okay.
Right?
That's when they project it'll be ready.
Okay.
But I don't want to book a theater and pay, you know.
No, I'm thinking in early summer so that there can be some hooping outside in front of the theater.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what theater are you thinking of?
Admiral Theater.
I'm thinking about...
It's an old-fashioned one.
Yes. I'm thinking about the Clinton Street Theater in Portland.
Is that one of those retro,
old-fashioned... Well, they have the Rocky Horror Picture Show there.
Oh, yeah. That'd be perfect.
And it's been there since I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, oh, that'd be so fun. Yeah. Cool. So The Hooping Life, for those of you who don't know, it's been this movie in the works for quite a while now. You can check it out online. I think it's just thehoopinglife.com or thehoopinglife.org.
I think it's .com. I'm not sure.
So I'm in Seattle this weekend with all my Hooper friends, and there is a weekly Hoop Jam, Spin Jam. It's open to other spinners, too. So there's Poi and Staff.
Right. Yeah, and it's not just a Hoop Jam. It's a Spin Jam.
Yeah, it's a Spin Jam. So that's something to check out. And the other people that are listening, we need space in West Seattle. Hoopers are wonderful tenants. Just FYI. anything else?
Not that I can think of. As far as plans for the future, you mean?
Plans for the future. What are you thinking tonight? Anything. Anything hooping.
Anything hooping. I don't know. I just, I'm just happy to be hooping and have other people that whose happiness has increased because of hooping. I'm just happy to be part of it.
You are a huge part of it.
Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of other people who are like, you know, household names, and I'm not, and I don't really care about that. I just, it's a fun group of people. They're usually really inclusive and friendly, and
it's the really
help-minded. You know, that's the other big aspect. Is, you know, it's not just adults. I'd like to extend it to kids, and you know, make sure kids are aware that they can do this. This is mm-hmm. something they can do, and with the bigger hoops, because a lot of them are larger these days, or, you know, got a bit of an obesity epidemic going
on.
They don't get to play, and this is such a fun thing to do that it could be enough motivation to get them outside, or, you know, in the basement or wherever there's room, and just do it just because it's fun, not because someone tells you, you know, they have to lose weight.
Right.
So I think it could be really helpful for, you know, everybody, kids and adults.
I agree.
To just, you know,
and then adults
and
adults
improve
bring...
their moods too. I mean,
yeah.
It's not just a physical thing. It's a mood enhancer, definitely.
It is. It brings back a little childhood joy, and you know, and then you don't take life as seriously, and you don't take yourself so seriously, and it's just.
And when you learn new things, then suddenly your confidence is increased too, because you're like, I can do this. I've achieved something. And you feel really good about that, and you feel your self-esteem goes up.
Yeah. Very good point.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should, it's raining right now, but...
Oh, I opened the door to get some air in, because it's feeling really warm.
It was a little warm. But no, I was just thinking about, you know, we're going to have to hoop pretty soon.
Huh. We better do that in the living room, I think.
Yay! Okay, we're going to go hoop in the living room.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary Lou.
You're welcome.
So there you have it. That is my hoop mama, Mary Lou, and isn't she wonderful? From her, I would say she has several hundred grandbabies now. Thanks to her, I teach now, and I'm hoping that my students are spreading the hoop love, to so many more people. Cause it really does, I don't know, it's changed my life. And hopefully, if you're listening to this and you are a hooper or just beginning to explore hooping, you will, see some really positive changes in your life. So thanks again, Mary Lou, for letting me interview you up in Seattle. We had a great time. Did a little LED hooping on the deck again outside. We had a little break in the weather. It was really fun. And so thank you for everyone for listening. And talk to you soon. Happy hooping. Bye-bye.